Heard about the college admission scandal? Yeah, we all have. And it got us thinking, does applying to college really need to be that stressful? So we asked an expert, what can we do to make this easier on us, on our kids, on our wallets? Here's that conversation.
You're listening to The Work-Life Equation, the Bright Horizons podcast for busy working families. Whether you're a working mom, a dad, or you're busy caring for other family members, we've got tips for how to fit jobs and families together and for how to make your work-life equation add up.
Yeah, I mean, it's so crazy that I think it has really sparked this incredible focus on college admissions. And as a result, yeah, I've been talking to a lot of different media outlets. I got to be on Good Morning America to try and spread the message that people, let's take a breath here. This doesn't have to be this way.
This is Elizabeth Heaton, our vice president of College Coach. When the college admission scandal broke, media all over the country came to Elizabeth to answer the question on all of our minds. What is going on?
I think there are a lot of things that have contributed to it. And I do think the internet and social media are a big piece of it. I think we have a much greater insight into what's going on in other people's lives. And I think we can learn a lot more about other options that are out there than maybe we could in the past. Most people still don't go very far when they go to college. Most people stay within a relatively short drive of their homes. But there is a certain group of people where the sky is truly the limit. Your child can go anywhere for college. And people, I think, started to say, well, why can't I go to Harvard? Why can't I go to Yale? And the answer is, of course, well, you can. It's just that everybody else wants to go there, too. So you have to be realistic about whether or not that's going to happen.
Where does the pressure come from?
As a parent, you want the best for your kids. And I think we live in an era where you're willing to do a lot. In some cases, people are willing to go to jail to get the best. And I'm putting that in air quotes for their kids. And I think there is that, you know, pressure of you need to do everything for your kids. Mm-hmm. It's gotten a lot harder to get into college. There has been an increase in the population size of the student body applying to college at that college-going age. The number of seats available in colleges has not increased. It's become easier to submit more applications. And so that's created things being unstable from the college's point of view because they have no idea who's actually really interested and who's just sort of throwing in an application because, hey, I want to see if I can get in. And then there seems to be this idea that has grown, and I think that some research has tied it to back when U.S. News and World Report introduced its first rankings, that you must go to a school that has a high ranking. If you don't have a high ranking, you are absolutely less than, and that all success in life stems from attending that higher ranking school. And then there's also the what sticker do you put on the back of the car? Why has it become, where are you applying to college? What were your SAT scores?
Competitive sport.
Yes. People ask questions that they never would have asked back in the day. And now it's a free-for-all. And I think that is also contributing to it.
People feel pressured not to just provide a college education for their kids, but to provide a status college education for their kids.
Yes. And they want their kids to at least either equal what they accomplished or they want better. Right. We all in some world, you know, think, well, my kids are going to have an even better life than I had. You know, my life is pretty good. I'm happy in my life. If my son has a life where he's happy, he has a job he finds fulfilling, I will consider that a success. But he's going to define that. I'm not going to define that.
From the college perspective, how worried should parents really be? And we've talked about there aren't more spaces, there aren't more students. So how worried should they be?
They really shouldn't be that worried. The fact is that 80% of the colleges in this country, and there are close to 3,000 four-year colleges, are accepting more students than they turn away every year. So they have acceptance rates that are greater than 50%. The problem really is because all anyone talks about, including the media, is that very tiny subset at the top that is turning away, in some cases, 90% or more of their applicants every year. But between that group and the group opening their arms wide to admit more than 50%, there is a huge group of colleges even in there that are maybe a little bit more selective, but still very reasonable. So really everyone should, as I said earlier, take a breath. Your kids are going to get into and go to college. So you shouldn't be that worried about that.
And it should be a college that fits.
It should be a college that fits. And we're starting to see it already. I do think we're going to see a little bit of a shakeout of colleges who maybe haven't been fiscally responsible or in some cases, unfortunately, haven't played the rankings game very well. But I also think we're seeing people maybe take a closer look at their debt and saying, you know, I don't know if it makes sense for us to mortgage our future as parents or for us to allow our children to mortgage their futures. So there's a growing interest in maybe you start in a community college and transfer into a four-year program, or you really do take a close look at all the options that you have. And if you only apply to schools that are a fit that you like, then theoretically you could go to any of them and go to the one that gives you the best financial deal.
And that's a really important conversation, that whole financial deal. There was a story in NPR just yesterday about how it's really hard to figure out what those deals are when you start getting your acceptances.
Yes.
And that's so important because that's something people like you do. It's not helping people to get into back doors to get into schools. It's helping people figure out how to pay for it.
Right. I mean, one of the things that we do is we talk to families about putting together a college list that is based not only on what makes sense academically for a student, but also financially for a family. So having a list of schools where you will have options that you can afford without going into massive amounts of debt. And that is a big piece of what we do, actually, when we talk to families about that side of things.
So important, because people come out with debt and they're going to be paying it forever. There are always those stories.
Well, exactly. And I remember back when I was applying to college, I got a package from a school and it projected that I would graduate with $25,000 in debt, which nowadays $25,000 is actually a very... Yes, less than average and a very reasonable amount, but at the time was a lot of money. And I desperately wanted to go to that school. And my parents basically said, I'm sorry, we can't let you take on that much debt. And I was very upset, but, you know, they had been very upfront also from the beginning that it was going to be a combination of what made sense for me and where I felt like I fit and what was financially feasible. So this wasn't a new idea that they were introducing in this moment. What I ended up doing is I ended up with a package where I graduated about $6,000 in debt. And then a year and a half later, when I wanted to move to New York City because I wasn't loving being in Boston, I could do that because my debt payment was about $100 a month. Whereas if I had been $25,000 in debt, I don't even think I could have been living on my own when I graduated from college.
That's really interesting because this is a part of the equation people do not talk enough about, which is, it's not just getting into the best school, it's getting into the best school you can afford.
Exactly. And also, what does the best mean? That is the big challenge. I would argue that there are a number of best options for every student. And every year I have students who either have five schools they love, or maybe more like five schools that they like that they could go to. Or I have the student who's sort of, it's this school or no school. And sometimes they get into that school and it's great. And then they get there and it's not what they thought it was going to be. Sometimes they don't get into that school and it is really challenging to then move forward. But always what I hear back is, I can't believe I really thought I had to go to that school. This is the best. I work with someone who had that experience. She said, I was such a brat my first 2 months at college because I really wanted to be somewhere else. And she said, and then I just kind of realized, well, I really like these people. And she met her husband in college and she is, you know, very happy. She has a great, fulfilling career. If you had asked her when she was looking at her college options, she would have said her life was over at that moment because she didn't get in.
But it is true. It's a very emotional process.
It is a very emotional process.
So since you're the expert, how is this playing out in your own life?
Yeah, and I do. I have a ninth grader and I actually have a stepson who has just graduated from college. A lot of my friends who, of course, know what I do, have been sort of surprised because a lot of them, their kids are in a million different activities and they spend basically every weekend, sometimes completely separated because one parent's going with one kid to one sporting event, another is taking a kid to some other event, that my son really, he tried Little League, didn't love it, played lacrosse for a year, did hockey, same thing, and really never did anything organized outside of school. I let him play video games and we skied as a family, not competitively. Let me be clear. I was hoping he would find something.
Sure.
But I wasn't going to force it. And so what I did keep saying to him was, when you get to high school, you are going to need to be involved. And I am going to require that you find something to do during every sports season. Doesn't have to be sports, but you need to be doing something in the fall. You need to be doing something in the winter, something substantial, and something in the spring. And one of the reasons certainly for that is because I know that that's something that he is going to be reporting on in his college applications. It's going to be part of that important element of his personal qualities. And so he was always on board with that. I know, Mom, I know. And I worried that it would be a fight when we got there, but it wasn't actually. He found a couple of things that he really enjoyed doing. And I've been actually really pleasantly surprised at how engaged he is in those things and how much he seems to enjoy them. And hey, I'm going to take some credit. I think it's because I let him figure it out himself rather than making him do all of these things. And I know kids are very involved and they enjoy it. So I certainly don't want to say that, hey, if you're ferrying your kids from place to place, that's because you're making them. But I think if you are a parent and your kid hasn't found their thing yet, and that is causing an incredible amount of stress for you, I would really let that go. What I have really tried to focus on, and I would love it if my son was here to say whether or not he thinks I have, is he's got to figure out what his path is. And maybe I thought before I had him that he would be just like me, but I've had to accept. I have a colleague who says this, and I think it's brilliant. You got the child you got, not the one you wished for, right? I think most parents would say, but I love my child. Of course you do. So stop trying to say, well, if only this, if only they are who they are. Mm-hmm. And you need to figure out how to embrace that about them.
So what can parents do? We'll get back to Beth in just a minute, but first I want to let you know that College Coach does a ton to help kids with essays and college searches. They even coach one-on-one, and a lot of their services are offered free of charge to employees right through their jobs. You can ask your HR department about it, and even if your employer doesn't offer it, you can still check it out at getintocollege.com/gettingin. Beth even has a podcast. You'll find it and a link to other information right on that page. Okay, let's get back to our conversation. And guess what? It's not just parents of seniors that are worried. Even expecting parents are thinking about this.
I think when they're worried about it in the womb, it's almost universally a, how are we going to pay for college, right? It's almost more of a financial concern. And I think in that situation, probably one of the most important things parents could do would be, however small, just start saving. We do a lot of programming around saving for college. And one of the things we talk to parents about, it's not a one-size-all approach. So while a 529 plan can be a great thing to do as a savings vehicle, it won't necessarily be for everyone. And one of the downsides to a 529 is that the funds can only be used for certain approved expenses without there being significant penalties. So, you know, maybe you are lucky enough to have one of those kids who gets scholarships to college. And at the end of the day, you don't need as much as you thought you were going to need. Or maybe your child opts not to go to college and they're going to choose a different path. And so now you've got all this money saved. Again, it still probably makes a lot of sense. Sometimes just the act of putting some money aside, whether you put it in a specific vehicle or you put it in the desk drawer, whatever it is, that will start to at least make you feel like you're doing something.
Right. Give you a little bit of control.
Exactly. And the only other thing I would say about parents of students that age is, first of all, you have no idea what college is going to be by the time they get to be old enough. Now, granted, it does happen like that, but you have no idea how it's going to evolve and change. So I wouldn't really worry about that. You know, one big thing is when you're child is little and they have those huge milestones, you know, they walk, they take their first steps. It's so exciting. They say their first words. You embrace it. You celebrate it. It's so lovely. And at some point between then and when students start to get into that formal learning phase, I think we kind of collectively lose it a little. And instead of embracing the things that they are able to do and understanding that some of it will come later, you know, embracing that every child is different, they're all going to have their own path. Your child may walk before your friends, but may talk later. Same thing. Your child may be really good in school or not as good, may be a really talented athlete, or they may be more of a kid who's going to stay inside and read a little bit. You know, they're going to have their own paths. And just because your child's path doesn't look like your neighbor's child's path, don't worry about it.
Yeah, and don't try to size it up based on, you know, what age they walked at.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, no, my daughter didn't start, wasn't reading in, I don't know, first grade. She's a voracious reader now.
She got there. Now, granted, of course, there are issues, and sometimes a student not hitting a mark tells you that there's something bigger that you need to investigate, but plenty of time, too, it's really just a student and a kid finding their way. So I think at that younger stage, try to hold on to that joy of those milestones and remember what that was like as your kids get a little older.
So we've talked about small children. We've talked a little bit about high schoolers. Then there are those kids in the middle, grade schoolers. What do we have for them?
We at College Coach, we have some employer-sponsored benefits that we offer, and we do programming for parents of elementary school and middle school students, and try and talk through some of the milestones that they should be seeing in those younger years. And I think these ages, this is the time when your kids should be exploring. It's okay to fail. The colleges don't see what you did in middle school or elementary school. And one big challenge that we do see is parents sweeping in to help too much with school. They're doing homework for kids. They're making sure the homework is perfect. Homework is meant as a way for teachers to see, did the kids actually get it? So if you are making the homework perfect so that your child gets an A, because that's only acceptable, then you're robbing the teacher of an opportunity to see, ooh, that student didn't actually understand that. You're robbing your child of the opportunity to say, wow, I didn't get that as much as I thought I did. And you're establishing a really negative pattern of you coming in and doing the work of my involvement. And I think at College Coach, that's what we are talking to families about, is this is the great time to explore. Find the things that you enjoy doing, or at least identify the things you don't enjoy doing. Because when you get to high school, colleges do like to see that you're committing to things. So if you're starting that exploration when you're a ninth grader, well, now you might try 5 clubs as a freshman, not like any of them. Now you have to join or do 5 new things as a sophomore, and maybe you don't like those either, and it starts to look very haphazard. So if you've helped kids try to find some things that they like doing when they're younger, then they will become better at identifying what seems like a good fit for them. And then when they get to high school, ideally they can kind of settle into a few things that they really like. And I honestly think, we didn't talk about it earlier, but one of the worst actually, in my opinion, part of this entire scandal is that what these parents were saying, either right to their children or behind their backs, and now their kids know, is whatever their best was absolutely not good enough. And whatever they were capable of was unacceptable to me. And can you imagine getting that message? Can you imagine as a parent giving your child that message? And I'm not saying that helping them with homework is saying to them that you are not good enough, but there are many ways in which you do see parents sort of subtly making that implication when it comes time for the college process. And for me, that would be the worst thing I could do to my child.
Okay, so we've established that we want them to pursue their own paths and we don't want to overhelp. But are there important things that we as parents should be encouraging?
In my mind, there are 2 things. The first would be to try, if possible, to stick with all 5 major subject areas all 4 years. That doesn't mean that you have to be in honors or AP in those subject areas. Different colleges have different levels of expectation, but college is about going above and beyond. And so I do encourage students who have a goal of going on to college to go above and beyond what their high school is requiring. And one piece there would be to stick with math, science, English, history, and foreign language all 4 years, if possible. If there is one area that really either you've maxed out the curriculum or it just gives you a lot of trouble and it causes everything else to suffer, in that situation, maybe once you have satisfied the high school's requirement, you could maybe drop that, but then you want to double up in another area. So a common choice would be you don't enjoy foreign language or you really struggle with it, so you're going to drop that once you've done 3 years or whatever your high school requires. But you can't just go and now take just 4 core classes. You need to fill it with something that you do enjoy. So if you love English, maybe you do 2 English classes in the next year or the next 2 years, however long it will be that you will be without the foreign language. The second thing I would say is get involved. Kids have to do something. It doesn't have to be at school. It could be a job. I know my son has some friends who just really, they're not into sports. They're not really into the clubs. I haven't really gotten a sense that there is so much robust stuff happening club-wise in his school. And so for those kids, they've gotten jobs. And That's a perfectly good way to spend time. It's an extracurricular activity. So an extracurricular activity is really anything that is done outside of the classroom. It could be done outside of the school altogether, or it could be done as a combination of things you do in school or nothing related to the school. But colleges, residential colleges anyway, generally offer lots to do on campus. And the reason that they're able to offer all of that is because kids come to their campus and they get involved and they keep these things afloat. And so they are looking for evidence that you're going to be one of those kids. And quite honestly, they're looking for evidence that you are social enough, that you're not just someone who is going home every day and sitting in your room or playing video games.
So the point is your child doesn't have to start their multinational nonprofit before they've graduated.
99% of students are not doing extraordinary things in high school. And that's fine, because 99% of colleges don't expect to see extraordinary things. People talk a lot about the importance of leadership. It is important if you're aiming for some of those very selective schools, maybe schools who are admitting less than a quarter of their applicant pool. But as soon as you start going beyond that, leadership is, you know, a nice to have, certainly not a must have. And most kids aren't doing particularly interesting things. Most kids are kind of that average, well-rounded kid. When we talk about the most selective levels, we talk about things like distinguishing excellence. But here's another thing I wish parents could embrace, which is you can't create that for your child. I can always tell when I'm working with a student who aspires to some of the most selective levels that when we start talking about that expectation of distinguishing excellence, their reaction and their thoughts about where they're at in that path, the ones who are going to get there are just energized by that idea. And they've already started on the path and they're excited about what else more they could do because it feeds them. Mm-hmm. The ones who look stricken and then the parents say, but she already does that so much. And well, right. So don't worry about it. This isn't necessarily the path that your child is going to take. And be okay with that.
Okay, so last question, because I know this is what's on everybody's mind. Brand name, not brand name, doesn't matter?
I think, again, whose brand name is important to who, right? So one group of people might say that the only acceptable brand is an Ivy. And somebody else might say, well, I know there's a great state school down the street. And I know a lot of people who went there. And I think that name would be great for you to have on your resume. So, of course, what I think is that the brand name doesn't matter. We all share stories of people who we know who started at a community college, you know, went to the local branch of the state school rather than the flagship, or went to one of those very, very well-known brand schools and flamed out in some way, or never achieved at the heights that people imagined they would. And, you know, I would really take a step back from the brand name and think about, what do you really at the end of the day want for your child? And if the goal is for them to have a happy, successful life, again, you have to remember that they are going to define what success looks like to them. You can't define that for them. And no brand name school is going to do that either.
So let them find the school that fits.
Exactly. And there's probably more than one.
So the bottom line, Beth says don't worry so much. But if you need help, visit College Coach at getintocollege.com.
If you like what you heard today, get more of our podcast by subscribing. While you're downloading, let us know what you thought or give us a share. Thanks to everyone for being here. We look forward to seeing you next time as we help make the work-life equation add up.